listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week when we gathered, I said that because of Easter, we don't have to be sad or angry or scared anymore. Now we can be joyful and loving and bold, the opposite of those things. If you don't remember anything else, remember that because of Easter, we don't have to be sad or angry or scared anymore. We can be joyful and loving and bold. This is the so what, the book of Acts. Now what? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now what? Today Stephen gets stoned to death. He gets pelted with rocks to death because he preached a sermon. No pressure. It's not the most riveting sermon at first. It's just a recalling. You can read the whole thing in Acts. Fortunately, the reading that Mary read, and she read the correct reading for today. If she had read the whole sermon, we would have been sitting here for a long time. It went on and on for a whole chapter. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 6. All he does, though, is rehearse the salvation history. We heard a little bit of it. He rehearsed the history of God's rescuing of God's people, like what we do in the Eucharistic prayer, that prayer at communion. There's this rehearsal, this remembering. That's been a theme for us in Easter, remembering, putting back together the story. And so we had that theme on Easter Sunday. Remember? Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. And so St. Stephen is doing this. Remember God walking with the people all along? Remember that? People are kind of like falling asleep almost. You know, I just imagine, oh, yes, 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 yes. It's pretty exhaustive and long-winded, like when a preacher goes on and on and on. Can you imagine that? Don't answer that. He starts with Abraham and Sarah, goes down through David and Solomon. It's a great retelling, but it's nothing really controversial or incendiary. It's pretty long-winded. By the way, it's interesting, I think, how revisiting history, as dramatic and controversial, think of all the things that have happened in history, but when we revisit it, as revolutionary as the characters in history can be, but when it's just retold, it's really kind of non-threatening and even boring. I mean, I've had history professors that just kind of killed history for me because they just go on and on and on. But when you think about the content, it's just radical. But they can almost put us to sleep. And I think that's a little bit what's happening in this long sermon from Stephen. He's just going on and on like a drab history professor or a droning preacher. So no problem with the crowd. If anything, the crowd's just kind of drifting off. And then, he concludes his sermon. And he concludes his sermon by comparing the ancient Israelites to the people of today. And then he's got a problem. Suddenly, every sentence is packed with a punch. You stiff-necked people, he says. Oh, there, wake up. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Someone pointed out in our Bible study this week, because we've looked at this text ahead of time. What is that? Uncovered, or covered up. Uncircumcised means covered up. So, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're covering up. Uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do, that long story I just told. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged, ground their teeth at Stephen, and drug him out. to the edge of town and stoned him to get death. So were they justified in reacting like this? Wasn't it their right to make sure that their preacher said what they wanted? They're just keeping him in check in that period of time. Or was Stephen just trying to preach God's word? Was Stephen in the right for calling them out? Quite a turn in action in these chapters about Stephen. From this sleep-inducing family story lullaby, who are dozing off, to suddenly their blood is boiling and they're filled with rage. What a shift. From remembering, just putting the story back together, to stoning. All he did was hold up a mirror at the end of the sacred retelling. That's what prophets do. So we can consider Stephen a prophet. Prophets just hold up the mirror. Like, this is you. It's hard to hear. It's hard to look in the mirror, right? What might we learn from what's happened here? I think there's so much to be said for standing up in the face of opposition. Because of Easter, we don't have to be scared anymore. I think there's so much here about standing up in the face of opposition. The story takes place in the book of Acts. That's not Acts like what you chop a tree down with. That's Acts as in short for actions. This is the actions of the apostles. This is the so what after the Holy Spirit has been infused into the disciples in all their diversity. We'll get to that story. Just remember we have skipped it. But the Spirit has filled these people. Christ has risen from the dead. So now what? It's the now what book of the Easter season, the book of Acts. Christ is risen indeed. So now here's what happens. Because Christ is risen, Stephen doesn't have to be scared anymore or sad or angry. One of the actions of the apostles we read about here today. It's rising up, albeit unpopular and even life-threatening, and preaching a hard word to the people. Calling our friends, our sisters and brothers in Christ out when they need to be. Speaking the truth in love. I love that way of putting it. Speaking the truth in love. I think about the martyrs through history, even more contemporary. Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer. They stood up in front of their people. When we tell their stories again, it's pretty non-threatening. And, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, where are we today? Suddenly it becomes much more uncomfortable. It's also important to note, I think, that Stephen, unlike Martin Luther King or Dietrich Bonhoeffer or other saints and martyrs, Stephen was not a pastor. He was not a bishop. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles. Stephen was a deacon. Stephen was a server, a lay person. One of our professors, and he's a seminary president, he said, I don't like that word lay person. I think we ought to use contemporary language, and everybody knows Harry Potter, so we should say muggles, you know, lay person, a muggle. Stephen was a muggle. He wasn't a wizard, right? He's just a member of the church, just an everyday Christian, someone who, it says, served at the table so that the apostles could go and minister the word. Stephen was just everybody, and yet he was the first to speak out and to tell the truth in love. All of you people aren't listening, he says. All of you people aren't learning from God's story here. You all are opposing the Holy Spirit, uncircumcised, covered up in heart and ears. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. That's what we commemorate today. And the word martyr, from the Greek, it means witness. Stephen was the first witness. This is God incarnate at work. The Holy Spirit poured out, infused into God's people. Here's what happens when God is incarnate and the Spirit's poured out. People get upset. And we too have the power to do this, to speak the truth in love. We too can do this. How might we speak together better? How might we speak to one another better? And how might we speak to the world more effectively? Speaking the truth in love could get dangerous. How do we say what we know God needs us to share to the people that we love, even if that's a hard word for them to hear? Not just my job as a pastor, it's our job together, as we're all deacons, in a sense, servants of God's word. I wouldn't recommend with starting you stiff-necked people, starting with name-calling, but then again, maybe that's the attention grabber in this era of Stephen. And maybe that's an attention grabber for us too in this time where we're very nice on the surface. Maybe a harsh intro opens the ears and the hearts. Oh, now I'm listening. You just called me that. I still would discourage against name calling, but sometimes it opens people up. Gets their attention. I think about an intervention. An intervention is where we call someone we love out. And maybe that starts with some name calling in love. You know, you're really being a jerk lately. I'm saying that because I love you. That's how some interventions have started. You know, you're really being selfish. And I'm saying that because I love you. I think that's the tone that Stephen is striking. In an intervention, we sit someone down, call them a name even, and then ultimately, it's not the end, ultimately we call them back to God. That's what an intervention is, calling you back to a God who loves you and a life that reflects that God who loves you. Let us all be about God's work of standing up and doing the right thing, even if it's countercultural or unpopular or frightening. We don't have to be sad or angry or scared anymore, remember? Let's not oppose the Holy Spirit. Finally, I'm struck by how St. Stephen was so filled with forgiveness at his oppressors. He is being stoned to death, and he cries out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He is praying for his murderers. He cries this before his last breath. Sounds exactly like Jesus on the cross, doesn't it? And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit is infused into our hearts. We start to sound exactly like Jesus. He also says, "Lord, receive my spirit." These are exact quotes from Jesus on the cross. This is what happens when the Spirit is poured into us. On this side of the resurrection, we too are filled with the power to say and do things as radical as Jesus, to shower love and forgiveness on our murderers. That's how real Easter is. And we've seen Christians do this. And we pray together every Sunday that we might have the strength and the courage and the joy and the love to do this as well. Actually, it's not as if we don't have that ability. It's in us. We pray to God to help us have the courage to bring that out of us, these powers of forgiveness and grace and mercy. It's within us. And we've seen Christian brothers and sisters down through the ages love and forgive and pray for their murderers. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyone, not just bishops and pastors and people who work in the church or have fancy theological degrees, everyone of Jesus' followers is capable of extraordinary things. Things like standing up for truth in the face of oppression and pressure. Things like forgiving our persecutors and resisting violence. What a radical for peace St. Stephen is, praying for his enemies as they violently pelt rocks at him. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyday followers of Jesus are infused with God's love and the ability to forgive. Forgiveness is what it's all about as people of God, as Christians. It's the Christian's version of circumcision. In other words, it's what sets us apart. Circumcision was a mark that set the Hebrew people apart. This is the Christian version of that. Forgiveness. It's what sets us apart. It's not limited to gender. And it hurts a bit. If you want to stay with that metaphor. It hurts a bit. And that's the challenge. It's not natural, and yet it is a marking. It is a special marking us as different. We are a people who forgive. The rest of the world's reaction, I think, the natural reaction is to get even with someone who throws a rock at you. An eye for an eye, right? A stone for a stone. You throw an insult at me, I'll throw one right back at you. That's the way that the world works, and that's natural. That's fight or flight, and that's fight in this case. But Jesus told us and showed us, and even everyday Stephen reminds us and shows us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. not just the bishop's Twitter line for the media. Let's be sure to pray for our enemies. Yeah, that's, we got to say that. We're Christian people. We got to make sure, get that out there. No, it's not just that, though. Stephen reminds us that it's every Christian's call to forgive. And no, we can be stiff-necked about that. Ah, you don't know the situation I'm dealing with, though. Stephen was right. We can't be stiff-necked. But filled with the Holy Spirit, as the resurrected Jesus has filled us with the Spirit, we are capable of both courage and forgiveness. Remember how Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life"? What do you think that looks like? Stephen is showing us. It means we are given courage to stand up and to speak. It means we are given strength to forgive the people who throw rocks at us. And we knew this was coming. Remember Bob Dylan's famous song about this? It's based on this passage. He says, "They'll stone us just like they said they would." We knew this was coming. This baptized life wasn't a cakewalk. I love it when children cry at the baptism. Not easy. Not an easy life. And at the same time, we're peaceful and joyful and trust in God's presence and providence. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we have just what we need to withstand, even in the face of death. We have everything we need. This is God's power. This is God's gift. This is grace. This is God's love and faithfulness poured out for us. This is the Holy Spirit. What we have, what you have, St. Stephen teaches us today, is enough to stand up and do the right thing. What you have is enough to forgive and love our enemies and those who have wronged us. We have that ability within us, thanks be to God. We have that strength, and God will not abandon us in this task. God will not abandon us this day. God will not abandon us in this fiery and frightening season in our lives. God will not abandon us ever. God gives us enough. Hallelujah. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit ELCA.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!